Amen. Thank you for that song. Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to turn. And once you've found your place there in Galatians chapter 5, turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. So Galatians chapter 5, and then we're going to go over to Philippians chapter 4. And we have on Sunday evenings been working our way through the fruits of the Spirit. And we've talked a lot. We spent a lot of weeks early on trying to lay the foundation for what the fruit of the Spirit is and how it comes to work in our life, and then the way that the fruit of the Spirit brings and bears this fruit in our life, not in a way that we can manufacture, not in a way that we can just run down the checklist and then, you know, kind of prioritize it that way and just, you know, snip, snap, and I want to be a good Christian. It doesn't work that way. It's a way that the God's Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, and then because of this change that we have experienced when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, because of that, then the Lord begins to bring this fruit to bear in our life. So Galatians chapter 5 is where we are, and I want you to see verse number 22. So Galatians chapter 5 and then verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. One of the dangers when you do a study like this, where you pull out these different character qualities and really qualities of our God, when you pull these kind of qualities out in a passage like this, if the danger is that you can become so focused on this. Okay, I'm gonna have love. I'm gonna have love. I'm gonna love people. I'm gonna love people. Why'd that person just cut me off, right? Or we do things like, okay, I'm gonna have joy. I'm gonna have joy. I'm gonna have joy. I'm gonna have joy. I'm just gonna be happy, and I'm gonna be really. I mean, I'm angry that I have to be happy, but I'm gonna be happy, right? Then, and if you're not careful, that's the way you approach it. Right? And what I want you to understand is I want you to feel what the Apostle Paul is saying first. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what he's saying is, this is already true. Is if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, these fruits are already in you. Because if this is true, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because if this is already true of you, then just now go your next course. And you'll remember a few weeks ago, we had the table up here, and we had the glass jars, and then we had all like the little happy face, beanie bags in the one, and then those were in Adam, and then this one had Christ on it. And we illustrated how when you were saved, God took you out of Adam, and what was true of Adam was true of you. And what was true of Adam? That he was lost. He had disobeyed God. He was lost in his sin. He sinned. His sin was a direct disobedience to God. And what was true of Adam was true of you. And then when you got saved, God picked you up and he placed you in Christ. And now what is true of Christ is true of you. And that's what he's saying. If ye are Christ, they that are Christ, it's possessive sense. If you belong to God, then this is what's happened. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, guess what? You belong to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, you are not your own. You belong to God. So this is true of you internally. And then you live out of that place. You're living out of that place. And then this is what produces the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance. And then again, against such there is no law. This is not something that can be regulated. That's what he's saying. You can't regulate love. Did you love enough today? You know, you can't regulate joy. Were you happy enough today? You can't regulate peace. This is not something that you get a citation for. The church police aren't running around making sure you're being happy while you're here. Hey, I noticed during the service you weren't being happy. You didn't have a smile on your face. The pastor told a joke and you weren't laughing about it. So we're writing you a $25 citation. Here you go. Make sure you give it next week in the offering. Although that's a great idea. We'd get offerings up that way. Either that or you would laugh at the jokes more. One of the two. Case in point. And this is what you can't, it gets such, these aren't things that can be regulated. Like, these are things that are true of you because of who you now are. Okay, so before we jump into this idea of peace, I want to make sure that we set the table and we all understand what we're talking about when we talk about it. Otherwise, we come to the idea of peace, and we come to the idea of joy, and we come to the idea of love, and we come to these qualities and these characteristics, and we think that in somehow that they can be legislated or they can be legalized or that they can somehow just be worked up. And that's you can't do that. You can't do that for the long term. You can't do that for the long haul. I mean, we can juice it up for a little while. Missions conference is coming up, and we can all, pull on their heartstrings and see the sad pictures and those things. But in the end, if we are not walking in line with who we say we are, it won't last. That's what he's saying, okay? So we come tonight for peace. And here's the question. Why is peace so hard to find? Why is peace so hard to find? Okay, so you really enjoyed the emoji last week. So I got a new one. Is Gabriel here? Where's Gabriel at? My man Gabriel. Wow, your dad moved you to the back row just so you wouldn't get caught. Gabriel, run down here, buddy. Come on. It's okay. Don't look at dad. Yeah. Obey the preacher. Come on, run down here. Good. All right. So you remember this one last week? Remember this one last week? This was what? Joy. All right, come on up here, Gabriel. Yeah, don't look at dad. Don't worry about that. Yeah, it's okay. You tell him. There you go. We don't want to see your face. There we go. You look like your father. We want to hide that. All right. Here's this one. Ready? All right. Peace. Why is peace so hard to find? Why is it that we can't find peace? The lady sang about it in a moment ago in the song. Right? In the good times and the bad times, and God, I've learned to say God's been good to me. You know that song is a testimony? That song is a testimony of someone who has found peace. Peace. They're at peace. They're living in peace. All right, so I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me with the one today. My man, Reuben. Yeah, come on. Don't be so happy about it. Yeah, Gabriel ran down here. Reuben's like, oh, great. Here we go. Don't worry. We're going to hide you behind this beautiful emoji that Miss Amanda made. Come on up here. Man, the sweater vest. You're always looking good in the sweater vest. Good job. Here we go. Stand right here for me. We don't want to see your face either, all right? Hide it. You look like your father as well, and we want to cover that up, all right? All right, Galatians 5 then, and we're gonna go back and forth from Galatians 5 to Romans or to Philippians 4. This is a simple answer. It's going to be difficult for you to hear, but it's going to be simple for you to process, difficult to hear. Why is peace so hard to find? Here's why. Because you have more enemies now that you are a Christian than you did when you weren't a Christian. It really is that simple and that difficult. The easy answer, why can I not find peace in my soul? Why can I not find peace about my life? Why can I not find an easiness? Why can I not find that comfort zone? Why can I not find, and the simple answer is, because you have more enemies now than you did before. And you go, well, Dave, look, nobody told me that. I'm sorry that they didn't tell you, but that's true. Before you were saved, you had one enemy. Before you were saved, you had one enemy. And your enemy is the person that you were fighting against. And that's God. You had one enemy before you got saved. You had one person that you were fighting against. You had one person that you were rebelling against. You had one person that you were running from, and that was God. We're going to see in just a minute in Romans chapter 5. You can get a head start. You can see in just a minute how we found peace with God. We found peace with God. That's what Paul says. We found peace with. That's a very important word. We found peace with God. But before we found peace with God, we had peace with someone else. We had peace with a whole different crew of people. We had peace with a whole another group of individuals that we were hanging out with. But now that we found peace with God, God's enemies have made war against us. And that's the answer. Why is it so difficult to find peace? Because you are now at war with more people than you used to be at war with. That's what he's saying. Okay, who are God's enemies? It's three very simple ones. The world, the flesh, the devil. The world, the flesh, the devil. When you were not at peace with God, you were on their side. You were on their team. They weren't fighting against you. You were fighting with them. And you were opposed to what God wanted. You were against what God was trying to do. That is literally the definition of what it means to be sinful. To go against what God wants. To come up short of what God asks. To not do all that God has requested you to do. Is you had one enemy, and then you made peace with that enemy. You made peace with God. And in making peace with God, you made enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Can you go to Romans chapter 5? We're gonna get to Galatians 4, but I want you to see this just so you know that I'm not making it up. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, I'll let you get there. You can scroll or flip or however you're going to get there, but get there, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, can you read the next phrase with me? Would you read it out loud? Read it with me. Ready? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so when you are saved, you were given peace with God because of what Jesus did. Okay, so if that is true, then the reverse of that is true, that without faith and without the Lord Jesus Christ, you did not have peace with God. You were an enemy of God. And Paul really, in that chapter, chapter 5, Paul really talks about that. And if we're a homework assignment tonight, I would give you that. Paul really talks about that over and over and over, being an enemy, fighting against God. But when you got saved because of what Jesus did, you found peace with God. But there is a difference between the peace or having peace with God and having the peace of God. There's a difference. There's a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. You have found peace with God, and your enemy and God's enemy cannot destroy the peace that you have with God. And what we mean by that is the enemy cannot take away your salvation. This peace, this reconciliation that's been made with God through Jesus Christ can never be taken away from you. It's the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer. Right? If you want to really boil it all the way down, John R. Rice would say, once you're saved, you're always saved. Right? That's jelly, bottom shelf stuff right there, okay? So this is what he's saying. You have that peace. That peace with God can never be taken away. But the peace of God can be taken away. And this is the way that the enemy fights against us. He fights to steal or destroy our peace. He fights to steal our joy. He fights to corrupt our love. Okay, so now the stage is set. Philippians chapter 4. Go there. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to show you a very familiar verse. We're going to read this verse, and you're going to go, Dave, I've read that 100 times. I know. But just a reminder. You guys doing good? All right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The choir sang about that a moment ago. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Now, that's a different word. Before it was peace with God, now it's the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. and the God of peace shall be with you. How do we find peace? How do we find what the Apostle Paul says? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Three things. I'll give them to you fast. First, notice, here's how you find it. Rehearse the good things that God has done for you. Rehearse the good things that God has done for you. Be grateful for all that God has done for you. Be grateful for all that God has done for you. I look, it's Sunday afternoon, and I know you had a long afternoon, right? But be grateful for all God's done for you. Amen. You can be thankful even if it's not Thanksgiving. You can be thankful in the month of September. It doesn't have to just be the month of November, right? And this is what he says. Look how he says this. I want you to notice what he says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, notice the phrase. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. So be thankful before you even ask God for what you need to ask God for. Be thankful for the answer you get before you even ask the question. That's what he's saying. Be thankful for the answer that you're going to get from our God before you ever even ask the question that you need to ask to God. So before I start with God, and here's what I need, and here are my bills, and here are my problems, and here's this, and could you do that, and could you fix this, and could you make this go away, and could you take this person and deal with them, and could you strike them with a lightning bolt, and all the things that we're going to ask God to do for us. Don't act like you don't have people you'd like to get struck with a lightning bolt. Don't look at me like that. You pray those same prayers, okay? Before you get to the request, see what it says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, why would he say it that way? Why would he say, be thankful before you even make your request? Why would he say that? Here's why. Here's what he's teaching us. Because when you thank God before you ever ask God, you are at peace with whatever God does. Here's what you're saying to God. God, I have a way I'd like for my life to go. I have a way that I would like for my relationships to go. I have a way I would like for this thing to play out. I have a way, and I'm going to ask you if you would do my way in just a minute. But just so you know, God, whatever you do, I'm okay with. Whatever you do, I'm okay with. Peace is found in a confidence that God is in control of your life. Peace is found when you have a confidence that God is in control of your life. How do you say thank you before you ever received one thing? Here's how. You know that whatever you receive is coming from God, who is in control of everything that you're going to receive. That's what he's saying. I stood up on the pulpit like that just to make like the point, like the extra point, right? And I don't feel like there was a reciprocation for that, right? But that's what he's saying. He's saying, before if you do what I ask or if you don't do what I ask, thank you for being you. And I know that you are in control. Listen, God is in control, friend. Amen. He is. God is in control. What's going to happen with the election? What's going to happen with the money? What's going to happen with this new pastor from Kentucky? God's in control. It'll be okay. God's not worried about it. I mean, you're worried about it and I'm worried about it, but God's not worried about it. This is not new to God. God isn't sitting in heaven and go, oh my goodness, they just elected a pastor from Kentucky. What are they thinking? It's not news to him. It's not news to him. And that's what he's saying. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is, Lord, when you pray, pray this. Lord, whatever you do in response to my request, I'm good with. However you answer what I'm about to ask you, I'm good with. So it's a rehearsal of gratitude. Number two, it's the reflection of grace. Look at this. Reflect on the grace of God. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Think about this. Think about what? Think about what is true. What is true? What is true is I'm a child of God. Think about what is honest. That God honestly loves me. Think about what is just. Well, what is just is that I deserved sin and the penalty of it, but God sent His Son to take my sin penalty on Himself and then gave me His righteousness. Think about what is pure. Christ was the pure sacrifice for an impure sinner like myself. Think about what has virtue. If there is anything that is worth living for or dying for or loving or promoting, it is that. If there's any praise, if there's anything that's worth talking about, this is worth talking about. That's what he's saying. Think about what God has done for you in your life. Man, think about, reflect, rehearse, meditate, work down into your life the way that God has shown you grace time and time again. This is the difference between Mary and Martha. Do you remember that? They invite Jesus to their house. And Jesus gets in their house, and Martha is running around with 30 billion things that she's got to get done. And there's a casserole to get in the oven. They were good Baptists. They had casserole. There's a casserole to get in the oven. I mean, there's the floor to sweep. This is Jesus coming to the house. There's a floor to sweep. There's the blinds to get straightened up. There's the furniture. There's the kids' clothes that are all over the bedroom. I mean, there's Legos on the floor. I mean, and the bread's not going to bake right. And she's going everywhere, right? And she looks around and she goes, where is Mary? Doesn't Mary know we have a job to do? Doesn't Mary know Jesus is in the other room? Doesn't Mary know we're supposed to be working? Doesn't Mary know how busy it is? Doesn't Mary know how hard it is? Doesn't Mary know all the things I got to get done? And she opens the door to go get Mary. And where does she find Mary? Sitting with Jesus. Oh, all the ladies in the room right now, tapping the toe, hand on the hip. Everybody's in there doing dishes but you. Just saying. And what does Jesus say to Mary and to Martha? He says, Mary, why are you so troubled? Why are you so troubled? Listen. Why are you so troubled? I need to have a meeting with the pastor. We're going to have to set this straight. There are some problems. We got to get this dealt with. Why are you so troubled? Just. And isn't this what he tells her? Mary, you've got all this. You've got all these things to do, or Martha, you have all these things to do. But Mary is doing the one thing that is needful. That's his exact word, needful. Mary, you got 300 things on your list to do, and I happen to be one thing on your list. Or Martha, you have 300 things. I keep getting them mixed up. Martha, you have 300 things to do. You guys are going to be so confused about this story when you leave here. You're like, I don't know, Mary and Martha, they're both bad. You know. Martha, you got 300 things on your list to do, and I'm one. Mary has one thing on her list, and I'm it. That is where peace is found. That is where peace is found. Listen, teenagers in the room, I understand where you're at in life. Right? There's a lot of pressure on young adults today. Lots of pressure. Everybody to make happy, everybody to please. I get it. It's stressful, right? It's stressful. You're getting your first pimple. It's stressful. Brother Michael's going to bring a lesson. Life after acne. I promise you'll have one, okay? It's going to be okay. I get it. And mom's on your case, and dad's on your case, and these people at the church, and the teachers, and the homework, and the coach, and the this, and that. I get life's stress, but look, there's one thing needful. You please Christ, and you'll please everybody else. listen, wives in the room, I get it. Moms in the room. Hats off to every mom in the room. Thank God I'm not a mother, right? Man, hats off to every mom in the room. I get it. It's tough. It's tough. Listen, grandparents, grandmothers in the room, it's even more difficult for you, right? Because you're sitting there going, I taught them better than that. There's no way I would have let them do that. And they're letting their kids do that. Okay, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to babysit so I can set their children straight, right? I get it. But there's one thing that's needful. You please Christ, and that'll please everybody else. You live for Him, and He'll take care of everything else. Gabriel, you good up here, my man? You still alive? Martha, Mary. This is it, and we're done. This is it, and we're done. You guys wouldn't listen if I didn't have them up here, so I got to bring them up here. Peace comes when you learn to think thoughts like this. I love what one theologian said. He said this, worry is the absence of thought. Worry is the absence of thought. This is what Paul is saying here. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, think on these things. Think on these things. When your mind starts to flood with the uneasiness of life, with the worry of life, you can either talk to your heart or you can listen to your heart. You can either say, no, that's not true. I know what's true. I know what's just. I know what's pure. I know what's right. You can either talk to your heart or you can listen to your heart, and you can all of a sudden just get overwhelmed with all these feelings, with all this, and this is bad, and it's the end of that, and this is the worst decision ever, and we're never, ever going to be the same, and God, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And here's this problem, and here's this situation, and here's this. And if you want to find peace, if you want to find the peace of God, you need to have a spirit of thanksgiving. I'm grateful to God for everything He's done for me. The person at peace with God, when he wakes up in the morning after he hits the snooze button several dozen times, then he peeks out the sky, out of the windows, and he sees the sun and he sees the blue sky, and he takes a deep breath and goes, God gave me today. And God knows what's waiting for me in the rest of my day. And I'm thankful for the day. But he also rehearses the grace of God. There's one thing needful. Last one, the reality of generosity. Here's what it is. I'm not even going to explain it. I'm just going to read it. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That sounds like a man who found the peace of God, doesn't it? Sounds like a man who found the peace of God. My question for you, have you found the peace of God? Are you living, walking, serving, giving, going, sitting here tonight in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding? And let this be a fruit that is coming to bear in your heart and in your life. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we?